And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Unbox podcast. This is episode 140, boys and girls.
Jeez.
Spotlight on DC Comics, Sovereign 7, and I typed it wrong, number 11, from 1996.
Six.
I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
And once again, we use the universal randomizer.
The planetary chance machine.
Yes, planetary chance machine.
And boy, did we get hit in the noggin this time.
So this one was a little more difficult to pick. And then you can give us the Wikipedia version of what happened here. So it came up DC again.
Mm-hmm.
It came up the letter S. So then I randomized a second letter just to see what would come up, and luckily it wasn't you, because that would have been a huge door to open. But
yeah, exactly.
It came up O, and I thought Sovereign 7. So then I even went one step further and I randomized for the issue number. So,
uh-huh.
And it came up this issue number 11, which turns out to be part 2 of a 3-part story, which we'll cover in a few minutes here. But
yes,
Sovereign 7 by Marvel's own Chris Claremont.
Yes, a little bit from Wikipedia. Now, the Wikipedia says this needs all kinds of help and verification, and so take this with a grain of salt a tad bit. This was launched in 1995. Sovereign 7 was created by Chris Claremont and artist Dwayne Turner, and it was Claremont's first professional regular series work since his departure from Marvel Comics and the X-Men franchise in 1991. So he had 4 years, which I think he was writing novels. I've got one of them, and yeah. Oh, Lord. He's a great writer, but you could tell he was used to having somebody do the pictures because he would spend 3 pages describing a tree. And I never did get through. I got through the first one. I never did read any. I read, like, part of the second one he did. It was like a trilogy of kind of space opera kind of stuff. Anyway, this was the first title set in the DC Universe owned by its creator instead of DC Comics. And there's a thing that says citation needed, so take that with a grain of salt. I don't know if we need to get into the team or anything, but elevator pitch, a bunch of aliens that were all of noble blood from different worlds. And fleeing from some big thing called the Rapture. And typically 90s real world style, they worked in a coffee shop that had portals to other universes. And I thought one thing that was interesting, it lists the original cast, and at one point Rampart was killed off, one of the characters, and Power Girl was part of the team for a while. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And where does it say? Oh, yeah. The title met with middling success and was canceled after 36 issues in 1998, after which Claremont returned to Marvel.
It had a couple annuals, and then it also had a couple specials. One of them was a special crossover with the then time-displaced Legion of Superheroes.
Really?
Yes.
I never saw that.
During the final
yeah.
Or whatever that was called.
Yeah, there were a couple of
they were in it.
They did like a couple of one-shots or spent, like they called them. They had different names for them, but the Legion was put in a couple of them.
Yeah, it seems like I remember that. Didn't they like, do Superman Plus, and then they'd have somebody in it?
Yeah, that was one of them. They did the Superman Plus, and the Legion showed up there. And I forget how they connected in with... I think they had Saturn Girl appear in Sovereign 7, but I don't remember whether it was a special or an annual or what.
Yeah, they were... It mentions them in that Genesis storyline with... where, you know, everybody's powers got all flaked out.
Right.
They were in that. It mentioned them in one of the regular issues and the rest of it, so.
So 36 issues, that's quite a, like, that's 3 years. That's all right.
Yeah, that's a pretty good run for a creator-owned title.
And again,
I didn't realize... Couple, oh, go ahead.
Plus a couple, like I said, plus a couple annuals.
Yeah, I see that, two of them, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah, year one annual and Legends of the Dead Earth.
Oh.
Year one annual, huh? Wow.
I still think, I think it's bold. I mean, DC allowing them to bring in a creator-owned concept into their mainstream world.
Yeah.
So, it potentially had the ability to provide quite a little residual income for both Claremont and Turner. I don't know if it ever did. I don't know whatever
became
with these characters after the series was canceled. But and I know it's never been. You never see reprints of this stuff anywhere. But
well, on eBay right now, issues 1 through 9, all signed by Chris Claremont. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, how much?
$56 right now. But for $52.76, you can get on eBay the entire collection, including the annuals. $52.76, that's not bad.
No residual, though, to Claremont.
No, none.
No, but again, you know, if any of their characters had appeared in a series at that point, they would be due residuals if there was reprints. And
yeah.
If they the series if it had been successful enough, they could have, you know, reprinted the hell out of it. And given that they were most likely going to have mainstream DC characters appear, they could have ended up with some decent money. Didn't happen, but since we've got Claremont now falling back into his X-Men ways...
They did put a trade out, though.
Did they?
No. Yes, they did.
Hmm.
Used copy for $7 on eBay right now. I don't see it on Amazon, but apparently a couple other online comic shops are selling it as well.
Well, yay. So
anyway.
I...
And from looking at, not reading the first issue and not knowing who all these people are, and glancing through issue 11, I think $7 might be too much. That's just me. Because I remember buying the first issue and not liking it, and I never bought another one. I think I still have it.
I know I picked up a couple, like the first issue, and then I kept going for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I got too far into it, but, I mean, Claremont's name was enough to get me to look at it, so so that was probably DC's plan all along.
Yeah, that's the reason I looked at it, for sure.
And I would gather to believe that most of us who picked it up and most reading at the time, we're still not grasping fully the idea that Claremont used a lot of words when he did not, instead of allowing his artist to tell part of the story.
Yeah, he reminds me of that X-Men. When he left X-Men, that X-Men number 3, there was like, what, a whole panel of just text almost. He was like almost pontificating.
Well, we will get that here as well.
All righty then.
We'll get that here. So you want me to take her, or do you got it, Murray?
Go for it.
Oh, right in the back. All right. Well, we start off with a interesting cover by Dwayne Turner. Big-eyed character. I don't know. I should have. I think that's...
hold on.
Who is that? It's not Cascade. Who is that? That's...
I really have no idea. Network, maybe?
Network, maybe. Yeah, you see, that's... No offense to anyone who enjoyed Sovereign 7. It just didn't... I mean, we'll figure it out. They get
we really don't have any idea. And the Wikipedia article doesn't give you really an idea, so...
So it's a kind of cool cover. It's got the Escher thing going on where...
it's
upside down and backwards and sideways and stuff. It's kind of cool, actually. I do appreciate this cover. And, again, cover dated June 96. $1.95 American, or $2.75.
Wow.
Yeah, you guys screwed us during the 90s.
Well, what goes around comes around, Murray. Mm-hmm. we are taking it firmly in the shower with the drop soap right now.
Oh, Lord.
That's not explicit tag. Yeah. For the physical copy, that's what we now pay for mm-hmm. a digital copy. So
yeah, this is true.
After 2 or 3 months, but
yeah, or if they're on sale, a buck.
Yes, but still, which,
you know, helped me catch up on Aquaman and Green Arrow.
That was Google. That was not Comixology, was it? So.
What one?
About the 99-cent one for Aquaman.
No, Comixology had them on sale. I got a good chunk of them.
Oh, I saw it on Google, so I didn't see the Comixology, so
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so we dive in.
We
have a huge splash page panel, or splash page, of four of the Sovereign Seven gathered together, weeping. Well, the big guy is weeping. That would be Reflex.
Yes.
And we have Cascade. It was Network on the cover.
Yeah.
So Cascade is the one with the purple helmeted thing that I guess Claremont liked that. I guess that was not a Jim Lee-ish thing. That must have been a Claremont thing.
Yeah, they all got that, like...
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Head thing, don't they?
Headgear. Well, the Network and Indigo. And as you noted, a lot of words. Mm-hmm. They are four of the Sovereign Seven. They are heroes. Reflex, Cascade, Network, Indigo. At this moment, at this place, hero is a title that means nothing. And then we have some quotes, someone talking off panel. On a lovely winter morning when the air was crisp and clear with a hint of the promise of spring to come, the fourth horseman of the apocalypse came to Gotham City. In the Bible, he rides a pale horse and is called Plague, and in his wake comes death. Good God. Okay. Well.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here.
Very 90s. This is, the art is very 90s. The,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we then have the title page. And he loves Siege Perilous, doesn't it? Because the title of this story is Siege Most Perilous.
Oh, that's right. I remember. I've got that trade, or actually I got the omnibus of X-Men where they start that after they went through the Siege Perilous and everybody thinks they're dead. They're in Australia, the X-Men.
So it's mm-hmm. it's written by Chris Claremont, penciled by Duane Turner and Ron Lim. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. There's very abrupt changes to the art when you look through this.
We've got inking by Chris Ivey, who I don't know who that is. And then the Royal Richard Starkings is lettering this.
With Comic Craft.
With Comic Craft. Well. His company, for goodness sake.
Is it his? Oh, I wouldn't have any idea.
Yeah. Okay. And then Gloria Vasquez is the colorist. Didn't she do some songs in the 80s?
I don't recognize that name. No.
Or who am I thinking of? Gloria Estevez. Gloria Estevez, sorry.
Yes. What exactly is a separator? Is that the guy that stands in between the writer and the artist when they have a fist fight?
That's a mediator.
Or I don't recall ever seeing the word separator in there.
I think I remember seeing it a lot in the 90s, but it's gone away now. So
no idea what that does. Huh, interesting.
Probably something to do with the quality of the paper they were using at the time and the way that the ink was bleeding.
Yeah, maybe so.
And the colors were bleeding. I'm sure it had something to do with that. So that was Bob Schwager who did that. And at the time, associate editor Eddie Braganza.
Which, didn't he work for, or has he always worked for them?
For DC?
DC, or did he work for, who am I thinking of was like an, was a, worked at Marvel, or was a publisher or something? But anyway, he's the editor-in-chief now, isn't he?
I think. He's done a couple of jobs at DC, and I can't remember what he's doing now. I think he's a group editor.
Yeah, well, I think he's pretty high up there, but I could be wrong. I don't know. They're all crazy anyway. So over there. Anyway, let's. And I'll shut up now.
And then King of the Burning Bridge would be Kevin Dooley, is the editor at that time.
Yes.
He loved burning bridges. That was his
oh really?
His modus operandi back just after this. He was big time. He was doing the Green Lantern titles.
Wow.
And a couple others. This was when Green Lantern did its reboot with Giffen and company. When they gave Hal Jordan the gray sideburns and all that.
Oh, yeah. I think I have almost all that run now.
Along with Mosaic and whatever other Green Lantern stuff was coming out at the time. And
mm-hmm.
Sure, Dooley was doing, he had his fingers in a lot of DC at that point. This is when early AOL, just real quick story, during early AOL time, he was very active participant in discussions on AOL, and he was easy to get in touch with and talk with online. So.
That's cool.
Yeah.
First real good letter I sent to DC was through that AOL.
And once again, a reminder that this was created by Claremont and Turner. So, diving in. Technically, the contagion is genetically engineered airborne mutation of the Ebola virus on the street here in what prides itself as America's toughest, most dangerous city. It's called The Clinch.
Wait a minute, The Clinch. That sounds familiar.
This is set in Gotham, so I would think it would sound familiar to you.
You know what? I think this is during that contagion thing.
Might be.
Could be.
I just got that trade at the con.
And then the big guy yells out, "Blessed Saint Odin, the beds, the bodies, there are too many to count." And they're all...
they're horrified.
They're
horrified.
They are horrifying. For some reason, the little blonde girl, she can hear in people's thoughts that they're dying. Which,
here we go.
Do people think that they're dying out loud? I don't know. And the narrator, whoever this is comparing this to Hiroshima with the biological warfare. It says, Gotham City is our Hiroshima. It remains to be seen whether it will teach us the same lesson. That some weapons are indeed too terrible to be contemplated, which much less ever used. Reporting from Gotham City Central Armory, this is Neil Conan. And we see a woman with hair impossibly long sitting holding a dead dying guy's hand. And all these early members of the Legion of Superheroes with their helmet bubbles, or bubble helmets, excuse me. With some name tags hanging off the front of them. Sorry, that was... I'm mocking the dying comic book characters.
Well, that was a long time ago, so...
There you go. At the start, it seemed like such a simple mission for the team. A shipment of coffee had been misdirected.
So this is what these superheroes
are up to. They're delivering coffee.
I was right. This is taking place during the Batman Contagion storyline. The Clinch was that disease.
There you go.
Ran from March through April 1996. This was the big catastrophe that happened before the earthquake, the cataclysm.
So less than a year into the run of this comic book, they already had to rely on a crossover event with Batman to bump sales.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I don't. Batman's not in this at all. But,
no, but the contagion is. Which
yeah,
is,
you're right.
And at that time, this was huge collector speculation period. This was prism covers and
17
variants. And image was in high gear. All that stuff. It was so just the hint that it crossed over with the Batman event was enough to probably kick its sales up by 20% or 25%.
I would imagine, yeah.
So, she is, this woman is comforting this dying guy. Her name is Violet Jones. She's the Sovereign Seventh patron and one of the proprietors of Crossroads, the coffee bar that was their new home.
Yes.
For some reason, they were going to Gotham City to pick up the coffee shipments.
Gotham is known around the world for its fine blend of coffee.
That's right.
It's all the guana. It's all the bat guana.
Yes, the bat guana, of course.
Is it a special pecan flavor? It's super strong. So there's a dying guy. She's holding in his arms. Dad said he'd take me sledding. Oh man, it hurts. Everything hurts. Where's my dad? He said he'd be here. I want my dad. And she's kissing the dying guy and saying, your dad's gone ahead. And he dies, and she closes his eyes. God, is this what the clench was doing to people?
Oh, yeah, it was bad stuff. It was created by the Order of St. Dumas, which was Azrael's, the one that did him. And it was a called, the technical name was a Ebola Gulf A.
Let's power through this. So the sovereigns are chastising Violet for being in this ward and being a nice lady, which seems awfully cold to them. But it's questioning why she isn't wearing any armor or suits.
You remember, they're all royalty.
Right. Well, and in the background, and she says we're wearing armor, yet she's basically half exposed, and right behind them is a doctor who has scrubs on and nothing else. Mm-hmm. They're all wearing suits and stuff, and she's like, oh, the disease has run its course, a cure has been found, which, just a side note, mm-hmm. there's still the disease, she can still catch it.
I know.
So, anyhow, and she's saying that most of the ones who are dying now got the vaccine too late, or they got some kind of secondary infection.
Even Tim Drake got this. Mm. He was infected with it for a while.
Yeah, that's why he's red hot.
Yep. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
And she's still chastising her for not staying close to them so they could protect her. And Cascade her back to Crossroads.
Yeah, that was her ability, was teleport, basically.
Yeah, and Violet says, nah, I'm gonna stick it out here. And they're getting, and the Sovereign Seven say, hey, we're going to stay in Gotham, at least for a while, and help out, because that's what they do. Those with us with special powers have responsibilities.
This is our home now.
So there's your elevator pitch.
Yeah.
We have special powers and the responsibilities that come with them, and we can't stand by and let Gotham be destroyed the way our worlds were.
Yes, the Rapture destroyed them all.
I think they just said that the cure was out there, so whatever.
I don't know.
So they're going to stick around, and Network has heard a psychic peep from Crossroads, so there's nothing to worry about on that score. There's nothing to worry about. Looks like everything there is just fine.
Yeah, then the next page it really gets weird.
Yep, and in
3 blocks west and 2 blocks east.
Thank you.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
We read too many comics, people.
Yep.
So we are, in fact, 140 miles due west from Boston along State Route 2 at the intersection of the borders of Massachusetts, Vermont, and New York, the town of Crossroads, at the very point where these three states meet in the coffee house. Is the coffee house and inn of the same name?
Man, look at all that text. Good God, son.
Well, we see a panel where a guy is hung up by a giant spider, and the first panel the first text box is, to all outward appearances, the scene's as normal as can be on this snowbound weekday morning. So I'm thinking that text box belonged in the panel above. But
yeah, but it was so small that it would have taken up all the art that was there. So
that beautiful drawing of that snowbound mm-hmm. coffee house with no windows.
Yep.
Or very few windows. Okay, well, I don't live in a snowbound area, so is this, Murray, would in fact a inn or building have like that few windows in a snowy area?
Yeah, we Canadians, we get rid of all of our windows during the winter months. I think
You get that, snow blind, see, if you look outside.
Oh, it my. Looks, I don't know, it looks like it's got a chunk of windows just along the top under the, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a style of house with, I mean, I've seen, it looks like it's one of those
it's
stone homes with.
It's a coffee house and an inn.
Yeah, people live there too. And,
okay.
It's a good, looks like,
I don't know, I think it's a style.
Yeah.
Looks like something out of The Great Escape.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Like the barracks at the prison.
Barracks, thank you. That was the word I was searching for. Mm-hmm. So we got this young guy. Unfortunately, nothing can be further from the truth. The young man has more names than he knows what to do with. Mostly, though, he goes by the tag Cruiser. He, too, is a sovereign. He's a telekinetic, possessing the ability to move physical objects with the power of his mind.
That is what telekinesis is, actually.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
To do that, he needs to be able to focus his concentration, which isn't so easy when you find yourself wrapped head to toe in a narcoleptic web, courtesy of a creature who appears to have flown right out of one of the more auteur canvases of the Flemish painter
Hieronymus.
Hieronymus. Yeah. Thank you.
Wow.
Oh, no, we're not done. In fact, both creature and prison are the handiwork of a villain who has taken Bosch's name and work as his inspiration, and who, with his companions Arsimboldo and Escher, call themselves Dystopia.
Wow!
And then
they're not short words either. They're big mofos.
Yeah, and then Cruiser is thinking to himself, can't let these filaments put me to sleep. Yeah. But each time I struggle, I get stung. I get stung! Poison hasn't killed me yet, but blessed mother, it hurts like blazes. Wow.
See, now, why couldn't... Wow, okay, you know, I'm all for a little text to kind of know what's going on, but holy crap. Anyway.
And he doubles down on what's going on here too, because he uses all this text box to say what these webs are doing, but then he's got the character thinking about what the webs are doing to him.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I could take more thinking than less text boxes, but anyway.
Yeah, no.
But you know, you gotta. If this was your first issue, I don't know. Anyway.
But again, he overwords it. So
there isn't any text boxes for several pages after that, though.
Sweet. So we got the character thinking to himself, not sure I can break free even if I got the chance. Been lying doggo. Pretending I've given up. Hey. And so the creature pinches his nose, makes his mouth pop open, and he splorches something into his mouth. And then his, what's his name, Cruiser?
Yeah.
Cruiser, yeah. Pacing.
Says, once it hits my system directly, I'm ghosted for sure. Someone's been reading spy novels.
Yep. Yes, apparently his power is fueled by his body mass. So he's we get that here in a minute, sorry.
So then he sploogies the,
yeah, he got slimed right down the throat.
There's great sound effects here.
He sploogies the bad spider thingy.
Oh, yeah, I see it. I'm behind. Sploogie, that is a good one.
And he smooshes him up, sploogies him on the wall. Totally disgusting. Totally glorious. But
totally.
Leonidas was fond of saying, a battle half won is a battle half lost. Actually, I like that. That's... Mm-hmm. Okay, so then he turns his telekinesis loose on the web and makes his great escape!
Oh, man.
And there we go. And then he's coughing and he's mumbling to himself, idiot, dolt, cretin, dumbhead, burned off so much energy, can hardly move, as much a prisoner as before. Which... whatever, it's not quite true because there's no bad guys around. So
yeah.
And as I understand it, he's in a coffee house, so I'm gonna bet there's food around somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's in. Yeah, well, he's in his room though, so I don't know. Weird.
So then these two girls come crashing out of his closet. We got Casey and Daisy. And for some reason, one of them's wearing a face mask.
Yeah, they talk about that in there. Let's see.
Okay, we'll get to it then.
Yeah.
So they
talk about it in the... Well, no, actually. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
I'm trying to
redeem this a little bit as we read it, but it's really hard. Go ahead.
Great. I'm loving the art. Absolutely. I love that panel where you see their eyes in the dark there.
Yeah, that is cool. I have to admit.
And they come busting out. And one of them says, "What are you doing in my... What are the two of you doing in my closet? What's it look like, Dim? Come to your rescue." And the other one says, "Nice talk, Daisy. You eat with that mouth?"
Apparently, Dim is a expletive from their... wherever.
Sure. And we are reminded that his power feeds off his flesh. And she's like, "How do you know that, girl?" And so they feed him peppermint patties. One of my favorite treats, by the way. I love that. Mm-hmm. Which aren't melted for some reason. Those melt like that.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm not sure if she's human or not, but I don't think the other one is.
So they're commenting on how cute he is when he's skinny, which, geez, fat is.
Yeah, I was reading in the thing, and he started out skinny, but then he was always running on empty, and it says, "to quite fat with plenty of power in reserve," as the series went on. So anyway.
So they feed him that, and he quickly stands up and throws on his armor, which doesn't fit him because he's not big enough.
There's one of your abrupt changes in art right there.
Wow, it really is abrupt. It's very 90s.
It almost looks painted.
Wow, this is a great looking page. Sorry. And once again, we have the explanation of his powers, that if he wants to fight more, he needs to use his power effectively in a fight, he'll need more food. And he's, "As it is, I'm lucky I can even stand." And the girl's saying, "At least the coast is clear. Killing that demon didn't sound any alarms." He comments that, "Weren't you two taken captive, and we got loose? Last time I looked, this was a closet. Now it's a secret passage." And then sometimes his phraseology bothers me. To clarify, "Don't twitch my way, Dim."
It's got to be some kind of just some kind of made up slang, I would imagine. Yep.
And Pansy and Violet may have introduced me as their cousin, but this place is as much a mystery to me as you. So they. Violet, again, back to the Gotham scenes. That was the long-haired lady there.
Mm-hmm.
And an attitude to match your mouth. Or match your mouth. Cute. "I wonder if we can use these passages to reach and free the others." That was Daisy's idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, apparently that coffee house had several passages opening up. All through the place. Anyway, go ahead.
He's commenting that they need to find Finale because she's the best combatant. And Daisy says, "Tough luck. She's unavailable. You're stuck with me for the duration." Implying that she knows how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Casey says, "Hey!" For some reason. Oh, "You're stuck with me for the duration. Hey! Correction, with me and my best bud. Better watch that first step, Cruiser." They're walking through a doorway.
And weirdness.
"You shall not pass!" Sorry. And it's a doozy. Boy, that's a really beautiful panel. It's a little sideways. It's really good looking.
Yeah, there's a couple. The first one, that first splash page, is a little sideways too, but it's an interesting look.
And he's stunned, and Daisy's saying, "That's the treat about old houses. They're just chock full of surprises."
Like, they all have Grand Canyons in them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you go into my backyard and then go about 2.5 hours north, there's a Grand Canyon up there. So,
In 3 blocks west?
In 3 blocks west.
Yeah.
Huh? And he says, "Oh, this must be the gorge where the team went to rescue Cascade." And this was that was a editor's box back in Sovereign 7, 2, and 3. Yeah. Zootite.
Excuse me. Hello, Shusa.
He was left behind to be their anchor. I never saw it myself, only through the images projected by network over her Psylink. But there was no color then in the thoughts she broadcast to me. So she broadcast in black and white. That's kind of actually interesting.
Yeah. I'm wondering why that's relevant here, but, you know.
I don't know. It's okay. Words.
Because they're commenting on what it looks like. In like we can't see it. I don't know. It's a lot of I don't know. Anyway,
Cascade broke in an earlier story. I guess Cascade broke a dam and unleashed the water of imagination.
Well, now we know what happened.
Okay. I can't tell which sparkles more brightly, Daisy, the water or the rock. The one inspires the other, Casey, as though the world's soul was asleep for countless ages, and now it must gloriously and spectacularly awake. Cool! Is that a good thing? Okay.
And we're back to text box.
Text box. Cruiser knows this is an impossible sight and says so. I'm skipping over that hole.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
So we shift back inside the house, and the escapees quickly make their way along a cliff, which was left behind on the previous page. It's the cliffside path to the next available doorway, which admits them to the room occupied by Connell Savoy. He loves these weird ass names. Who am I to talk? I got a weird ass. So
yeah,
and then we get a zonk. That's old school.
That's an old school one, yep.
Zonk sound effect, and a guy who was hanging from the ceiling gets dropped down on the floor. Ow!
With a mohawk, no less.
Yeah, you get a mohawk. Hey, cool. Very 90s. So, Cruiser's in, stumbling into the room, weak as hell, and says, "Sorry about that, Connell." And
go make me a sandwich!
I guess.
Sorry. That was incredibly sexist, but hey, you know.
Give me a sandwich, bitch, and get me a croissant while you're at it.
Yeah, there you go.
And their baby, the two girls are babying the guy who fell on the floor because he fell on the floor hard, and they keep telling him how he fell on the floor hard. And he jumps up. He goes from going ow, 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 lying on the floor to jumping up and running to the window, and we've got to get out of here and get us some help. And the girl says, "What do you think we've been doing? Going to the Grand Canyon or something?" No, I'm kidding. Anybody got any ideas who these dystopia Nimrods are? That's my mom's Land Rover. Mom, hey, Sheriff, up here. He's pounding on the window, and he's trying to open the window, and they keep telling him, "Don't do it."
What the hell kind of name is Conal, anyway? Anyway, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just his name.
Mm-hmm.
Like Data, the Daddy. Remember that whole episode?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Somewhere Pulaski kept calling him Data.
Yeah, I hated that character. I really did.
And he's like, "Well, we have to keep trying harder. Maybe we can smash the glass if we have to."
And the letter... Why do you have to?
Smash the glass, for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Yell as loud as you can. And there's someone sitting in the car... And we get a lot of empty word bubbles of different types.
Yep. Giving the letter a break. It's nice of him.
The sheriff drives away. And there's apparently... the reason she didn't hear them is because it's part of the Glamour Escher cast. So folks outside, everything here seems fine and nobody inside can bust out. And then they ask, "What about Cruiser's telekinesis? No guarantee, no reserves. Suppose I waste my strength and fail, then I'm useless to you." He keeps... It's very...
Mm-hmm.
His power set is very ill-defined.
Whose?
Oh, it's just one minute he's weak as a kid, and the next minute he's not. So.
Yeah.
And they're still talking to themselves. The next to be found and freed is Rampart, which they don't show the freeing of Rampart, but they free him, who automatically assumes a leadership role. And once Cruiser lets him... This once Cruiser lets him. Daisy, though, has other ideas. No finale, no contact with the other sovereigns. We have to move fast, Rampart. Squad 51. Sorry, I don't think Rampart, I always think Squad 51. So, anytime now, our escape could be discovered. Two of us, and with Bosch and Gotham, only two of them. Fair odds, anyway. You guys got creamed in round one, remember? The Mohawk guy is saying. And we see Cruiser is shoving food in his face. I can't tell what the food is. It looks like he's eating rocks, but...
he's from Bismol.
Swallow. They're torturing Pansy, and if we wait, burp, they may decide to kill her. Nobody has a normal name here.
No.
Hey, no major problem. I've seen Sovereign 7 in action. My money's on you. Perky, perky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mouths of babes. She doesn't know any better. But he got fat again. After all, she thinks Rampart's attractive. You're just jealous. They lose Cruiser. Strike fast and hit hard. Make them believe we're the whole team. On my cue, ready, set. Merciful almighty!
That's a hell of a cue. Oh, this is when it goes all Schellinger on him. Or whatever the hell the name of that artist is.
Escher?
Escher, that's it.
M.C. Escher.
That is correct. That's what the cover was supposed to be like.
Yep. And they walk in, and they, for whatever reason, they actually walk into the room. If I saw that when I opened the door, I would stay in the room I was in.
Yeah. Well, they might still be in there. That guy can screw with reality.
Yeah, you never know. If they opened the door and the Escher stuff came floating into their room, then they would have been...
Mm-hmm.
It says as one, they emerged from the same doorway.
Oh, okay.
Across the same stretch of gallery, overlooking the main floor of the coffee bar, charged down the same flight of stairs, only to find themselves... with every step thrown ever further into a crazy quilt realm where none of the natural laws apply. Not gravity, not perspective, not even common sense. As if that weren't trouble enough, the air is thick with flying bug demons manifested by Bosch. And worse still, Pansy Smith sits bound in the center of the room, her features cruelly altered by the morphing power of Arsimboldo. Some artist, I'm sure. Into an amalgam of candles and fireworks and explosives.
Well, I'm sure glad he told us what was going on.
Didn't tell us that would be art. And that's quite an interesting looking coffee bar. Looks like it has booze underneath there.
Yep.
Who sent your ways to utterly no... Oh, we've got Escher. No, this would be Arsimboldo. He's talking.
His hand okay.
He says, too set in your ways, too utterly noble to take our hint. You're lost, children, our joy. All I need to do is strike my Lucifer and set match to fuse. Then we'll all watch pretty Pansy go up in a blaze of glory. And she says, you know the rules about crossroads. Oh, no, that's Escher, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing this? I spit on your rules, girl.
Fatui!
I spit on your rules, girl. Dystopia artists. Our canvas, our creation. Uh-huh.
They mentioned Neuron.
Our tools, thanks to Neuron, yeah. All praise to his unholy name, the very fabric of reality. While Neuron may have been defeated, his cause goes on forever. So, another tie to the DC universe.
And it looks like, and we got some, this looks like Ron Lim here.
Yeah.
And next page.
We get some fight scenes. Daisy, I've been spotted. bugs are after me. Yes, the bugs are chasing her. So much for our plan, Rampart. For your plan, Rampart. Bruiser's yelling. In the words of my father, War Master, we adapt, we improvise, we overcome. Where's Daisy? Gone back to help Casey, though I'm blessed if I know how she found the way. So somehow Daisy has got ninja powers. You were supposed to stay with Connell in the cavern. I saw Lucy. I couldn't leave the cat out here all alone.
Oh my god.
Lucy can take care of herself. So can I. Then prove it by getting out of here while you've got the chance. As she is booting one of the bugs.
And she's good at it.
And she whacked one, and she cowed one, and she backed one. I wish that Richard Starkins was more clever, but, well, okay. He probably didn't choose the words. And then she's being warned, Daisy, look out for that bug. Daisy, oh my god, Daisy, your face. And they unmask her, and she's a fish.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Bug tore away my mask. I didn't want you, didn't want anyone to see that Arson Boldo changed me too. Wait a minute. Every other panel, she has the hair and eyes of a person.
Yeah, I know. That's what freaked me out too.
I feel like I missed something. Okay, well.
Yeah, it might have happened in the previous issue.
But every other panel, she's got eyes and hair like a regular person, but her eyes, she has no hair.
Man, there's flying demon bugs and people are standing sideways. I don't know what to tell you. Reality is wonky right now.
This I'm focused.
Dogs and cats sleeping together.
And going, row!
Yeah.
Two panels later. And then we have one of them. Indeed, it's Arson Bogo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Arky. Indeed, I did. And what, cute Casey, shall I do to you? Keep away from me, tut-tut, sweetie. Join the action, share the risk, pay the price. And the cat's going, hist! And the cat jumps at the bad guy's face, and egad, keep it away!
Kind of reminds me of that second Mummy movie.
And then, yes, we do have the swarm. She gets swarmed over by the bugs.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. And she has time for a single scream before she falls. Then the door closes, and there is silence. And meanwhile, the rest of the Sovereign Seven are still fighting. He's smiling, actually. Reminds me of a training exercise back home. To see how many attacks I can parry with my shield walls. In this case, each one I stop, I also have to seal with an energy cage. Okay. The question is, do I have strength and skill enough to outlast their numbers? One got through. Ugh. Crack. And another. Pow. And he falls to the floor again. Oh no, this is not Mohawk guy. This is the leader guy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can't lose a scrap of concentration. Mustn't let the others slip free. And oh ho, here's a pretty one for Arkham Boldo to play with. And he raises up. He looks like Wild Child.
Yeah.
Did Romulan ever do Alpha Flight, I wonder?
He might have.
I think we've lost Murray. He's gone silent during this whole thing.
He fell asleep.
I think Ron Lim did do Alpha Flight.
Yeah, he's on eBay right now trying to buy the rest of the series.
Wait. Oh, no. No, I thought I had my mic turned off while I was sneezing, but it's on.
Okay, it's yeah, we hear you. That's why he was silent. He was sneezing.
Yeah. Oh. 20 minutes of sneezing.
Arkham Boldo grabs... what's that guy's name? The
Rampart.
Rampart's shoulder, and he turns him into a half machine guy. You're a creature of such beauty and grace, Rampart. Oh, his name's right there.
It's alright.
The quintessence of humanity. Wow, somebody had their thesaurus handy.
Yep.
But suppose I were to take all that away. Now, where or where shall Bosch's demons begin their ultimate deconstruction?
Man.
Those monsters are tearing Rampart to bits. He must be too stunned by what happened, or his power has been somehow affected. And Cruiser dives at him. It's up to me to save him. He'll really hate that. Then he, by the blessed, I leapt straight for him and landed on the other side of the room. And he gets grabbed by Arcimboldo. And I think not, plump boy. Bon appetit. And he's got... And he lands. And... food! I'm food!
Oh, he's got, now that's pretty good.
Fingers. Literally pretty... sausage fingers.
He does. Huh!
Yeah.
Bread, sausages, slabs of meat, and cheesecakes and sweets.
Living feast of everything I love to eat. There are delicacies here I haven't even seen since I was a boy.
Hobson's Choice? What the hell is that?
The harder you defend yourself against the demons, the hungrier you shall become. So he has to make the choice of, does he fight and feed himself, or do, and the only way he can regenerate himself is by eating himself.
Oh, it's basically Hobson's Choice is a fancy way of saying take it or leave it.
Really?
Yeah, this is Wikipedia. A Hobson's Choice is a free choice in which only one option is offered. As a person may refuse to take that option, the choice is therefore between taking the option or not. Quote unquote, take it or leave it.
So it's not Sophie's Choice.
No. The phrase is said to originate with Thomas Hobson, a livery stable owner in Cambridge, England. He lived in 1544 to 1631.
Hmm. I give my children Hobson's Choice all the time, apparently, then.
Yeah. Who knew? Who knew?
Who knew? We were so...
Yeah. Fancy, man.
Fancy, yes. I'm going to start calling it.
I want to do something. He's expanding your world knowledge there.
Yeah.
God, for Chris Claremont.
Yeah.
Yet falter even slightly in that effort. Those same demons will make you a most fulfilling repast. God damn him in this thesaurus. One way or the other, you are done.
At least I didn't have to look that one up.
Patrons. As they fall, so shall the cosmos, and triumph to Neron. Evil laugh, okay. Evil laugh, evil laugh. Or, no, maniacal laugh, maniacal laugh. Maniacal
yeah,
laugh.
Exactly. Yeah, this is definitely Ron Lim. I can tell by that, the next panel, the three panels in, four panels in on the next page.
I actually like this transition. He's like, he's for Neron, and then the very next thing, you got to, whoever he is. Mm-hmm. Like that. That was, and it's the one with the least amount of dialogue of any panel here. Do you know nothing about this world? Not really. We're new here. Neron is the monarch of Malabolge, the nadir of the abyss, the living embodiment of the dark side of the soul. And he gets his jollies by sending you three stalwarts to trash a coffee house. I'm not impressed. He goes from smirking at him to diving him. I'm not impressed. And he warams him. I guess it would just be ram. The W would be silent like the word right.
Yep. Ram, yeah.
His telekinesis is as a physical light.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, is that the best you can do, Chubbins? Neither am I. Want to know your weakness, Escher? Even though you claim to be working together, you're really still three solos. At the least, you're each of you out for yourselves. Sovereign Seven, on the other hand, we're a team. Escher looks up. Hey? And down comes the girl with the fish head. Fish.
Fish head and teeth, it looks like.
Yes. She's a piranha.
She's like grimace. Like,
oh, yeah. That's the that's Admiral Akbar, I think. It's a trap! Sorry, continue.
It's you who are the fools here, children. I am in no danger. Perspectives in this room are so warped that she will then know where to be.
Starting to break up, dude.
That's about altering gravity. Okay, whatever. Who said I was aiming at you? Damn, Rampart! It's a pleasure, Cruiser. Drawing the demons to me makes it easy to mark them all as targets, and Rampart is taking out the bugs, scorching them on the wall. And they get there. They take them all down, one by one. Boom, 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 boom. And we get a flick, flick, bash, flick, flick, bash. Looks like someone's trying to light a lighter. And somebody looks like a tree. Says, howdy, howdy, sports fans. Remember me? I like that smile, the fish head girl says. And the sandwich kid says, so long as she never uses it on me. Stop staring at your fingers, Nico. You're making me hungry, says half cyborg guy. Here's the deal. You set matters here totally to rights and surrender to the cops, and I'll light my fuse. Oh, that's the girl that they came to rescue. Okay. Sorry.
I didn't realize that.
What now? I missed that.
The girl made out of matches is who they were coming to rescue.
Oh, gotcha.
And he says, you're bluffing, Slag. We of Dystopia defy. We of Dystopia defy you to the end. They're trussed up behind the coffee bar, which now looks like a coffee bar. There's bowls and cups and stuff back there. And she says, your call, and she lights her face on fire, or she lights the fuse on her face. But thanks to you, we've nothing really to lose. Everyone else in Crossroads is where you can't touch them. All we have to do is make sure you don't do this to anyone else ever again. Daisy's idea, what we're all agreed. Girl has a nasty, wicked streak in her. Fuse is burning, boys. She has a fuse on her head. Won't be long now before we're introduced to a whole new order of being. I mean, that's the fuse sound.
Does that make any sense at all to you?
Sure. Crossroads, okay. 02, call the station. We got the cops are back.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking. There are major federal warrants out for this trio. They're only a duo. One of the team is after Violet. I believe he followed her to Gotham City. And the sheriff's saying that. And he has my sympathy. That's Batman's. That's the Batman's turf. And Rampart says, who? And she says, someone you're better off not never meeting. I'd feel better if Network would answer my calls, or my hails, excuse me. Big girl, big city, maybe she's enjoying herself and doesn't want to be disturbed. Not to worry, Rampart. I'm sure everything will turn out for the best. And then the cops are leading the bad guys off who have superpowers, and they have them handcuffed, so that should definitely stop them.
Uh-huh.
Yep, handcuffs, can't go wrong with them.
Yeah, now, the next panel is kind of weird. Up the top,
From your lips to God's ear, absolutely. I'm serious, Nico. Criminals are a cowardly and suspicious lot. I knew they'd cave. Why is that weird?
Well, okay, that's what, in the original Golden Age, that's what Batman said when he was forming Batman. Criminals are a cowardly and superstitious lot. And cave is highlighted as in the Batcave.
Right.
Just kind of weird. That she'd say it like that.
There was no subtlety there.
Yeah, no subtlety at all.
Easily said now, Pansy. But you took a terrible risk for us all. Not really, Haroon. And I'm in charge of Crossroads, sweetheart. Nobody dies here, ever. And then Mohawk Kid yells, Mom, I just took another headcount. But there's no sign of Lucy or Casey Rassendil. Daisy went to look for them. And now she's disappeared!
Oh, and
the one little thing about the Crossroads, though, is a little thing in here that Violet Smith and Pansy Jones, comic book counterparts for the musical alter egos of Emma Bull and Lorraine Garland, the Flash Girls, of whom Claremont is a fan. Let's throw that out there.
So they had time to cook up a mound of burgers and then realize that they have missing people.
Yeah. Of course.
Speaking for myself, put together burgers that look the amount of burgers like that would take 40 minutes.
It'd take a while, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. So that's Claremont. And this one, yeah, the next issue actually does have Batman and Robin in it, it looks like.
Does it now?
So that was Sovereign 7 number 11, circa 1990s. Claremont taking a sidestep into the DC Universe for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Moving. That is the rumor that he likes words.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm sorry, guys. That was exhausting.
That was. No, that's fine. That's what the random stuff is kind of fun, you know?
I know. Hey, certainly made Valor from last week look like a real Watchmen-esque book.
Yeah, that was great. I mean,
sorry. Wow.
And that survived 36 issues?
Well, you got to remember, though, this is like part two of three.
True, and
we're coming in the middle of a three-part story. Although they only labeled it a part two on the cover, like within the book, there's no chapter titles or anything. So I wonder if it's more. I don't know. I get the sense that his books kind of just tell their story, and although maybe it is, maybe it does read like as if you read the first part and the third part, maybe they. They have like a through line that makes some sense there.
Yeah, I don't know.
That will be an unanswered question in my life.
But yeah, some of the stuff that it's got the fictional team history in the Wikipedia down in the last couple of sentences is one of the coffee shop's portals take two of the Sovereign's friends and their cat on a multiple reality adventure before they are returned safely home. Despite the group's metafictional nature, they were seen fighting a squadron of apocalypse soldiers during the Genesis event. Danger appears outside the coffee house as well. A demonic entity takes over couples, making them go on violent rampages. Hunters roam through the woods, endangering innocent people. Oh, that sounds exciting. And a well-known neighbor discovers a mystical sword in his house. This is like a train wreck. I almost want to read the entire series to see how bad it gets.
You go, boy.
Almost. I said almost.
You report back. We'll,
yeah, I'll pass on that.
I bet it reads better in collection or in,
well, look, in I'll, chunks. I'll tell you what. We'll buy the trade, and we'll just trade it amongst ourselves. And
We'll send it to you one page at a time.
I'm not saying it was a great issue. Like, it had problems for sure, but... But I've read worse. Like, I don't know. There were a lot of characters. I had trouble keeping track of them all and trying to figure out what they do and don't do and who is what and where and stuff. And there wasn't enough in the story to make me kind of – like, sometimes if there's a ton of characters, I'm pulled into the story and I want to find out more. And this time I didn't really want to find out more.
Mm-hmm. You know, like it was – New Mutant made me want to. Find out more. The New Mutants number one that we watched. I mean, read. But yeah.
And maybe we should have started with number one on this rather than 11, but I thought it would be an interesting exercise to jump in the middle and see if it, you know, if it grabbed. And
I agree totally. I think that's a very... Because I even was going to say something about that, but yeah, I agree totally. It's an interesting way to do it.
He He says with a grimace, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, well I've read through it. I glanced through it and I'm like, oh man, this is gonna stink. So that's all good.
But again, the Ron Lim pages were, from my point of view, I thought they were gorgeous.
Oh, I love Ron Lim's work. Yeah.
I even thought the Dwayne Turner stuff was really nice. If very very 90s.
With some Art Thurbert thrown in there somewhere.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was on the cover.
Oh, wasn't mentioned in the credits page.
No, you're right. I just realized that. But yeah, I remember the cover saying Art Thurbert.
So maybe he inked it, but it was, I think it was Dwayne Turner on the cover.
Was it?
Yep.
Oh yeah, it was. He's on the cover. I mean, Art Thurbert's name was on there.
You mentioned in the list of creators on the cover, Murray.
Oh,
yeah,
gotcha,
but he
gotcha.
Is not in the issue. You're correct, sir.
Thank you.
Hmm.
Honest to goodness, you could hold this issue up as a proof that Claremont overwords and stuff. Now, I haven't read Nightcrawler yet, so
I liked it. I'm trying to.
That's Claremont, right?
Yeah, he did put more words than most people do. I will give you that. Now that I think about reading that, I liked it though.
All right. Well, it's sitting in my pile. I will get to it eventually here. So.
Yeah, I had to.
I have a lot of books backed up behind me.
I had to wipe my tablet and start over because I had so much comics and stuff on there that it would lock up every like minute or so. So I'm downloading things over again. But
I will put myself through Nightcrawler right after we are done here.
Yeah, that it's actually good. I liked it. Speaking of, is anybody? Well, actually, that's not really doesn't stick with it. But how about Aquaman and the Others? Anybody read that?
No.
I did. I thought it was kind of cool. Batman and Eternal, on the other hand, I was disappointed in. But Iron Fist, the Living Weapon, was actually good. I liked it. Even though they did rewrite the origin a bit.
You know what I caught up on? I caught up on Injustice the second year. Injustice Gods Among Us.
Oh, yeah?
It's as good as the first.
Really?
Yes. And the first series was one of my favorites from last year. Great, great Justice League story. It's dark though, so if you're not into the dark stuff, then more. But it's better than Justice League America. It's certainly better than Justice League lately. It's on par with Justice League Dark, in my opinion. If you like Justice League Dark.
I tried that again when Lemire took over. It just wasn't my thing. I don't know why.
I'm enjoying this, so.
All right, then. I'm enjoying Amazing X-Men. That's like comics being fun again. But I've always been a big fan of Nightcrawler, and I was glad to see him back, so.
There you go.
So there you go.
Archer and Armstrong was good. Quantum of Woody was good.
I need to read Archer and Armstrong. Okay! Let's wrap this up, shall we?
I'm just looking through some of the other stuff that I have. Oh, Edison Rex 15. Legion fans, pick it up.
Okay. Yeah, I got it. I re-downloaded all those. I'm going to read it from the beginning and actually read the text pieces, I think.
Murray, have you read Edison Rex 15?
I did, yes.
Yeah, on the cover, I knew that was what it was. I knew it had something to do with it.
It was actually a fairly obvious story, but it was just the way it was written. It was very, very well done.
Oh, speaking of Legion, anybody reading Justice League 3000?
No.
I haven't read the latest issue, no.
I actually kind of like it. There is definitely not a replacement for the Legion, but there is absolutely positively obvious homages to it. Yes.
Murray, have you read She-Hulk 3 yet?
Is that the one with Dr. Doom's kid?
Yes.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. I liked it.
It's a goofy ass book. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I'll have to catch that.
And if you want intelligent goofiness, you should pick up Loki, Agent of Asgard.
I think I need to. I liked the first issue a lot.
The third issue, it is so good. It is so freaking good. Scary good, in fact.
Scary good. Oh my.
Scary good. It is. It blew me away. I actually read it twice, and I don't do that very much often. Very much lately.
Anybody a Matt Wagner fan? Grendel?
I haven't read any of his Grendel.
Well, he's doing a coming up for Dynamite. He's doing a Shadow versus Grendel, and I'm on his Facebook feed. He's been posting pictures. That's going to be a good one, I think. Anyway.
All right,
let's wrap it up.
All right.
As always, you can send us an email to podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think. You can join us on Facebook. Just do a search for Tales from the Long Box Podcast, and you'll find us there. And let's see. Oh, yeah, the actual oh, crap. Sorry. That drained all my energy. I need to go eat about 40 burgers right now.
There you go.
Yeah, on the actual episodes, you can comment on there as well. And they are secure from that heartbleed virus or whatever that was, vulnerability. I made sure of that just the other day. Yeah, that's about it. Until next time.
Sorry.
All right. We're out.
Physical exit.
Nice.